think are more accessible to us, and maybe a little bit less overwhelming in terms of the Kabbalah that he's basing himself upon. And to try to also, again, to learn it in a way that's, as we say, b'derech avoda, in a way that's relevant to us in our avodas Hashem. Okay, obviously every piece is if we knew how to learn them well enough, but I don't. So if you do, teach them to me. But let's try it together, okay? We'll start with this first piece. V'rivka amr el Yaakov b'na. However, this is in Perachav Zion, and it's at the moment that Rivka is encouraging Yaakov Avinu to go before Yitzchak and to try to receive the brachos. And Rivka says to her son, it's in Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zion, he gives us part of that quote. I'll read you the whole Pasuk. Again, Perachav Zion, Pasuk Vav and Zion. It's always good to have a chumash for Thursday Shir. V'rivka amr el Yaakov b'na le'mor. Rivka said to her son Yaakov, Hinei shamati es avicha medaber al Esav achicha le'mor. I just heard, I overheard your father talking to your brother Esav, and here's what he said to him. Havia li tzayid va'asei li matamim va'ocheila. Bring me tzayid, bring me game, go catch an animal, go trap an animal and bring it to me, and serve me matamim, serve me delicacies va'ocheila, and I'll eat it. Va'avarechecha lifnei Hashem lifnei Mosi. And then I will bless you, lifnei Hashem, before I die. That's the pasuk. Rashi says, what does it mean, lifnei Hashem? And he quotes it here on the screen. You can see it, or in the sefer in front of you, even better. Perish Rashi, what does it mean, lifnei Hashem? Birshuso, with the permission of Hashem. I want to bless you. I overheard, this is Rivka talking to Yaakov. I overheard Yitzchak saying to Esav, go bring me something delicious to eat. And then I will bless you, lifnei Hashem, with Hashem's permission, birshusa, with Hashem's permission, sheyaskim al yadi, that Hashem should agree with me, Hashem should support my decision to give the bracha to Esav. That's what I overheard Yitzchak saying to Esav. So Rivka's telling her son. Why couldn't he just translate the words lifnei Hashem as lifnei Hashem? Why does Rashi need to say lifnei Hashem means with Hashem's permission? So the super commentaries on Rashi explain, because you're always lifnei Hashem. Well, what's the chiddush in saying lifnei Hashem? I'll bless you before Hashem. Everything we do is lifnei Hashem. The whole world is lifnei Hashem. So the Mefarshim say lifnei Hashem must be saying something more, that Yitzchak was seeking the permission of Hashem to give the bracha to Esav. Okay, fine. But Chevra, there's an even more basic problem. What exactly that even means is itself worth thinking about this Rashi. But there's a more basic problem. You know what the more basic problem is? The more basic problem is that's not what Yitzchak said to Esav. Rivka says, I just heard your father, she says to Yaakov, I just heard your father say to Esav that he's going to give him a bracha, lifnei Hashem, before he dies. So now you go back a couple of psukim to when Yitzchak is actually talking to Esav. And Yitzchak says to Esav, listen, Esav, I'm old. I want you to go, sharpen your weapons, take your sword, take your bow, go to the field, v'tzu d'litzayid, and catch me something to eat, v'asei li matamim, kasher ahavti, give me something delicious as I enjoy, bring it to me, and then I'll be able to bless you, ba'avur tevarech ha'nafshi b'tarem amos. I want to bless you before I die. There's no mention of lifnei Hashem. So chevra, our Rebbe asked that question. It's a simple question, pshat and chumash. Rivka is apparently quoting Yitzchak as having a conversation with Esav, but she's misquoting the conversation. V'ha'inya nifla, says the Kajitzer Magid, I don't understand. Ki lo matzinu le'el b'divrei Yitzchak sh'amar lifnei Hashem. We don't find that Yitzchak actually said that to Esav, that I want to bless you lifnei Hashem. The only thing he said to him was, v'avarechecha lifnei Mosi, I want to bless you before I die. So why is Rivka saying to Yaakov, I heard Yitzchak saying lifnei Hashem. He never said those words. Chevra, is everyone clear on the question? She's quoting Yitzchak to her son Yaakov. I overheard a conversation that he wants to bless your brother lifnei Hashem. Then you go back a couple of psukim to the actual conversation, and it's not true. Yitzchak never said that to Esav. So what did Rivka hear? And Chevra, it's a lesson in listening deeply. And it's also a lesson for us in how deeply a person can look into the Chumash and try to find secrets on the page right in front of us that the regular eye doesn't catch. And that's why we need tzaddikim like the Kajitzer Magid, We need our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, to help us to crack the code of the Torah. V'nira remez hadvarim sha'amar Yitzchak la'isav. It must be, says the Kashas Magid, that what Rivka overheard was something that Yitzchak was hinting to. He didn't say it openly, but he hinted lifnei Hashem. And now the Kashas Magid is going to help us to hear what Rivka heard. Remez dvarim sha'amar Yitzchak la'isav. Vitzei hasada vitzudali tzayid. When Yitzchak says to Esav, go out to the field. Vitzudali tzayid. Now, if you have a chumash in front of you, you'll be able to see it even more clearly. The word is spelled tzadi yud dalid hay. It's spelled as if it says tzeda. But the kri, the pronunciation, is tzayid. In other words, that letter hay over here is not necessary. It's extra. V'chashavu b'mesora hay shavamilas tzeda liyaser. And in the tradition, that letter hay is not actually pronounced. The kri is tzayid. And yet it's written in the Torah tzeda with a hay. Lachein nira, ki Yitzchak HaTzadik ramaz bidvarav l'shem havaya haganuz. It must be, if you read the words that Yitzchak actually said to his son, you'll notice that what? That the name of Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is hidden there. Where so? Let's look carefully. He says, I want you to go out to the field, and I want you to what? Vitsuda li tzayid. Ki bamilas vitsuda, you look at the word vitsuda, the letter Vav and Hey of Vitsuda is really not necessary. Yitzchak could have said to Esav, go out to the field, and Tzod li tzayid. What's Vitsuda? What's that extra Vav and Hey? Ki haya lo lomar, he could have just said Vitzayid. Right? What's Vitsuda? There's an extra Vav and extra Hey. He could have just said, go out to the field, Vitzayid, and catch. And furthermore, in the word Tzeda, we notice that what? The hay already is not even pronounced, according to our tradition. And more than that, you don't need the letter yud either in the word tzeda, because Yitzchak could have said to Esav, he could have said to him what? Tzed li tzod. V'mila tzeda yud hay yiserim, the extra yud and hay. Ki dai ba'osios tzod. L'shem davar hanitzod. He could have just said tzod. He could have said v'tzed li tzod. But he didn't say that. What did Yitzchak say? Vitsuda li tzayid. You have an extra vav and a hay in the first word. You have an extra yud and hay in the second word. Ah, so what was he hinting to his son? He didn't talk to Esav directly about the fact that he wanted to bestow upon him the bracha of Hashem. He didn't mention Hashem's name explicitly because Esav was not the type of person, and Yitzchak was not that much fooled by Esav that he didn't realize that. He knew that Esav was no tzaddik. He believed in Esav, and he was trying to hint to him, Lifnei Hashem. So he's hinting to the letters, Yudkei Vavkei. Ela sheramaz la'arba osios hakadoshim shu yaskim al yado. He was hinting to the four letters of Hashem's name, and petitioning, really davening, that Hashem should what? That Hashem should agree to giving the bracha to this individual Esav. In other words, everyone understands that Esav has this awesome potential, and everyone also understands that Esav is not living up to that potential. Rivka has a clarity and basically has given up on Esav. I know that sounds like a harsh thing to say, as his mother, but she knows that Esav is not going to turn it around. Yitzchak is still hopeful. Yitzchak says, if I give him the bracha of Hashem, maybe, just maybe, he'll be able to what? He'll be able to become that tzaddik that he could be in potential. Rivka says, the whole thing is farfallen, you're wasting your time. And she tells Yaakov, go in there and steal the brachos. Don't let Esav get the bracha. It's not worth it. It doesn't make sense. Nothing good is going to come from it. But Yitzchak, with his deep belief in Esav, wanted to give him the bracha. And he's, so to speak, asking Hashem permission to give that bracha to Esav. And he's hinting to in his words, even though he's having a conversation with Esav about what? About going out to the field to catch some game for me, to prepare a delicious meal for me. But he's hinting with the extra vav hay and an extra yud hay, he's hinting that I believe that Esav can be makabel, the bracha of Hashem. So Rivka, with her great, koach of listening, she was able to hear that. And that's why when she says to Yaakov, I hear your father saying things, right? Yaakov says, I didn't hear that in the conversation. Rivka says, you got to listen more deeply. Got to read between the lines. V'Rivka ha-tzadekis l'goda chachmasa. Rivka, with her great depth of wisdom, hevina ha-remez. She understood what was being hinted to. V'amra ba'aliel, and she was able to even say something that she had heard, which wasn't actually spoken. She's able to say alil directly. She's able to say it straight. Shamati avicha medaber. I heard your father saying, va'avarechacha lifnei Hashem. I heard your father talking about how he's going to what? How he's going to bless Esav lifnei Hashem. Again, if you read the psukim, two psukim earlier, Yitzhak never said that. He never said it openly. But however, he did say it. Yitzhak had a way of speaking in a cryptic way. Rivka understood the message. He was hoping Esav's neshama would understand the message. And Rivka, again, clearly understood the message. But she disagreed with her husband as to the mahalach. What's the approach to take with someone like an Esav? She didn't think it was worth giving him a bracha. But again, what an amazing discovery of our Rebbe to find in the words Vitzuda Litzayid, to find the extra Vavhe in the word Vitzuda, to find the extra Yudhe in the word Tzayid, and to be able to read between the lines to find that name of Hashem, hiding there. Okay, deep idea. A nice remes. Something that, again, most regular people would not have found just reading a pasuk. Okay, Chaver, let's go a little bit further. I'll try one more piece. Again, you only have a couple of very short pieces in our parsha. You have three short pieces. Okay, let's go to the third piece. We'll read just a little bit of it because I don't think we can fully grasp the whole piece right now. Again, I say that because of my ignorance, not yours. The pasuk says, "Vayitein lecha ha'Elohim mital ha'shamayim u'mishmane ha'aretz ve'rov dagan v'sirosh." Okay, there's an amazing bracha. An amazing bracha that Yitzchak is giving to Yaakov Avinu. V'yitein lecha ha'elokim. May Hashem give to you, grant to you, mital ha-shamayim, from the dew of the heaven, u'mishmanei, shemen, shamein, mishmanei ha'aret, from the fat of the land, v'rov dagan, v'tirosh, an abundance of grain, and sirosh is wine. A big bracha. A bracha for a lot of success in this world. Okay? But you'll notice, and if you're just paying a little bit of attention, you'll notice right away, when you pay attention to the names of Hashem that are being used in the Chumash, they matter. V'yitein lecha ha'elokim. Elokim should give you this bracha. However, what is the name Elokim? Of course, Elokim is Midas Hadin. It's Hashem's name of judgment. Hashem's name of Din. Says the Medrash, the Medrash Rabbah, Yitein lecha brachos, Hashem should give you brachos, v'yitein lecha, what is v'yitein lecha? Kavishon. Now, what does kavishon mean? Kavishon sounds, to be kovesh something means to suppress something. The truth is, the part I'm going to show you in this piece, we're not going to get to his drushos on the Medrash. But here's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, Yitein lecha brachos, v'yitein lecha kevishon. Yitein lecha shel avicha, v'shel achicha. You should receive the brachos of your father and of your brother. Rabbi Acha Amar, Yitein lecha, v'yitein lecha elokuso, ad kan leshon. Okay, I don't want to focus on what the Medrash says. I want to focus on this Rashi. What does Rashi say on v'yitein lecha ha'elokim? Again, noticing that what? That it's Elokim. V'yitein lecha elokim. Says Rashi, Perish Rashi, V'yitein lecha ha'elokim, Rashi says, I'm going to read it out of the Chumash now, Mahu ha'elokim, why does it say Elokim? Why does it say God's name of justice? Explains Rashi, Badin. Badin means yes, but with justice. Im ro'i lecha yitein lecha, V'im lav lo yitein lecha. Yaakov is being told, if you're worthy, you'll get the bracha. But if you're not worthy, then lo yitin lecha. It will not be given to you. Aval le'esav amar, but about Esav, when Esav comes into the room, and he sees that Yaakov has stolen his brachos, and he begs his father, I also want a bracha. And his father says, fine, I'll give you a bracha also. What is the bracha that Esav gets? Says Rashi, Avala Esav Amar Mishmanei Haaretz Yihyeh Moshavecha. Esav is told your dwelling place will be from the richest places on earth. Mishmanei Haaretz. Bein Tzadik, Bein Rasha, Yiten Lecha. About Esav, you don't need to earn it. Yaakov, V'yiten Lecha Ha'elokim, Midas Adin. You have to earn it. If you're deserving of it, you'll get it. If you're not deserving of it, you'll lose it. By Esav is told, Bein Tzadik, Bein Rasha, Yiten Lecha. Whether you deserve it or not, you're going to get it. Chaver, listen to the end of this Rashi. That's where the Kazus Tamagid says, Ayin Sham. Look at the rest of Rashi, okay? So let's look at it. It's not on the screen in front of you. It's not on the Sefer in front of you. Let's read the rest of the Rashi. Umimenu lamad Shlomo kisha asa habayis. And from here, Shlomo HaMelech, when he was building the Beis HaMikdash, he learned how to see their tfilaso, how to arrange his tfilos. Yisrael shehu bal emuna, umatzdik alav hadin, lo yikra alecha tigar. A Jew who lives with faith, and is able to accept sometimes harsh decrees in this world, the divine judgment in this world, and doesn't complain to Hashem. A Jew who has deep emunah, who could still believe in Hashem after going through difficult times. Lefichach, therefore, what does Shlomo HaMelech say? V'nasata li'ish kidrachav asher teida es levavo. Shlomo HaMelech says in Malachim Aleph, you should give a person in accordance with his ways. Whatever he deserves, he should get. Aval nachri mechuser amana. Listen to this Rashi in this week's parsha. But the nations of the world who don't have that degree of faith in Hashem, by them, lafichach amar ata tishma hashemayim veasisa kechol asher yikra alecha anachri. You should listen in Shemayim and do whatever the non-Jew asks you to do. Because if you don't do it, God, what are the non-Jews going to say? They're going to complain against you. They're going to say you don't exist. They're going to say you're not listening. And therefore Shlomo says, Hashem, answer. It's based on a medrash. Rashi's quoting a medrash. Answer the Umbas Ha'olam, answer the nations of the world. Bein roi, bein she'eno roi, tein lo. Whether he's worthy or not, give him. Kadei shelo yikra alecha tigar. So that he shouldn't complain against you. Okay? Yaakov needs to earn it. And Esav gets it for free. Chevra, he unpacks a very powerful Kabbalistic lesson here. I want to just talk Pashut things for a minute. Okay? I want to tap back into our Rebbe from 200 years ago, and I want to just try to hear Pashut Pshat in this Rashi. And again, when we hear it from the words of a tzaddik, like the Kazus Tamagid, hopefully it leaves a mark on our soul. Chevra, listen to this. Look what he says. Ubeyer ha'inyan. Just Pshat in Rashi. Ubeyer ha'inyan, the explanation is as follows. Ki Esav harasha tzarech lamatnas chinam v'chesed dela'ela. Esav harasha needs a matnas chinam. He needs a free gift. He needs chesed dela'ela. He needs a handout. Ki lule yivarcheyu b'hashpa mida b'mida lo yichya afilu sha'achas ki ma'asei zar ma'aseyu. Because if a Kadosh Baruch Hu were to treat Esav mida k'neged mida, he wouldn't last a minute. You know why? Because ma'asei zar ma'aseyu. Because ma'asei zar, the actions of a what? Of a zar, of an outsider, of a foreigner, of someone who doesn't know how you're supposed to act. Ma'aseyu, those are his actions. If Esav is going to be judged for his behavior, he's not going to last a second. V'lachein, and therefore Hashem in his mercy, and Yitzchak in his mercy for his son, gave him a bracha, for him to be able to survive in the world, top of the next column, tzorech lahamshich alav hashpaz chesed chinam bein tzadik bein rasha. He needed a handout. He needed someone to take care of him. He needed someone to provide for him. Listen, chevra, in life, and I'm done with politics. I'm done talking politics. I don't know who's going to win the election. I know everything's disputed. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be. I have no idea what to predict the future of this country and the world. That's up to Hashem, as we spoke about a number of weeks ago, right? But I can tell you like this. Right? There are people sometimes who are in unfortunate situations and need to be provided for. But the notion that a person is going to always be provided for and will never be taught to provide for oneself is a tragedy. Right? The goal is not that the government should take care of us. The goal is that we should take care of ourselves. The goal is that we should take care of each other. When the Torah talks about helping the unfortunate, it's not talking about the government taking care of. It's talking about the average person being able to provide. If you have tzedakah, if you have the means to help, so help your neighbor when he's going through a tough time. But the goal of ahavta l'reicha kamocha is that I want the other person to have the success that I have. Nebuch, there's a metziah. Sometimes you have an Esav. You have an Esav who what? Who doesn't know how to live properly. And that's a tragedy. And therefore Yitzchak had mercy on his son and said, I have to give him a bracha. A bracha that says that what? That even if he's not worthy, that even if his actions deserve to be punished, he deserves to be held accountable, I'm going to give him a bracha. But Chevra, you know what the beauty of Yaakov Avinu? You know what the lesson of this Rashi is? Says the Kajetzer Magid. You know how the Jewish people carry themselves? With a deep sense of what? Of personal responsibility. I can't stress that enough. I know I talk about that a lot. But it's what Rabbi Nachman talks to us about, and it's what the Kajetzer Magid talks to us about, and it's what the Torah talks to us about. And it's the way to be successful in life. The way to be successful in life is to take personal responsibility. I can't force you to understand any word of Maseches Pesachim. I could try to help you understand it, but you're going to decide, do I know what Tashbisu means or do I not know what Tashbisu means? Do I know what Chovas Hadar means or do I not know what Chovas Hadar means? Do I know if the Bedikah is on the Socher or the Masker? Right? Do I know what it means that it's fitting for a person to be Mekayim a Mitzvah B'mamoneh? Right? That a person is interested in being Mekayim mitzvos with his possessions. Do I understand what Shonim say about that? Does that mean anything to me? Do I know what that's about? Zrizin Makdim in Lemitz. Do I understand what that is? Do I understand when it applies? How does it with Hidur mitzvah? Right? All the sugyas we've been learning. Maybe you chop them, maybe you don't have them. At the end of the day, all I can do is try to present it to you, and you'll decide if you want to learn it. I can read the words in front of you, and you'll decide if you want to take notes and write down the words you don't know, until eventually you do know them. That's the way I learned how to read these things. It's called personal responsibility. And the greatest bracha ever given to the Jewish people, bracha of Yitzchak to Yaakov. And it's a harsh bracha. Vayitin lecha alokim. If you earn it, you'll get it. And if you don't, you won't. Esav, here's your handout. Esav, you're not going to get it. You can't take care of yourself, I'll take care of you, says Father Yitzchak. But Yaakov Avinu, you got to be better than that. Yaakov Avinu, you have to take personal responsibility for your life. V'lachain, for Esav, the only way he's going to survive is if Hashem gives him something. Masha'ein kein Yaakov Avinu alav hashalom. Chevra, here's a good example. If you don't know what that abbreviation stands for, write it down. Masha'ein kein Yaakov Avinu alav hashalom. As opposed to Yaakov Avinu. Shehu, and now he's going to speak a little bit Kabbalistically, but let's keep it poshut. Masha'ein kein Yaakov Avinu, shehu neged amuda de'em tza'isa, V'olam hakavin. Yaakov Avinu, who is the Midah of Tiferes. Avraham is Chesed. Yitzchak is Gvura. That represents certain extremes. Yaakov is the Midah, the Amuda de Emtze Isa. Yaakov is the middle column. Yaakov is the balanced path. Yaakov is the person who looks to what? Who looks to take responsibility for his life and to walk the middle road. To follow that golden mean. To be able to what? To travel down the middle path. V'lachein ha'hashpa overes alav al yedei avodaso. He's not a person of extreme chesed or extreme gvura. He's a person who lined himself up with Hashem, and he's going to get what he deserves. That's v'yitein l'cha ha'elokim, midas adin. K'mo shekasev v'haya im shamoa tishma'u, v'nasati matar v'chein lehefech. And therefore about Yaakov Avinu, we find the way the Torah speaks to the Jewish people. If you listen to my mitzvos, then you'll be blessed. If you don't listen to my mitzvos, then you'll be punished. Why can't you give us a free handout like Esav? Hashem says, because that's going to cripple you. That's not going to help you to be the best version of yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to work with you with Midas Hadin, Nimtza. Says the Kol Yetzer Magid, therefore, Kishmashpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tova Al Yisrael. So therefore, Chevra, when Hashem does provide you with goodness, who bahaskamas midas adin. You should know in that moment. Again, sometimes we have our chesed moments. People are sometimes in unfortunate situations. In Mitzrayim, we didn't have the zchuyos. Even there, we tried to help ourselves a little bit, right? We got brismila, carbon pesach, bedamaye chayi. But there, we were in such a low place that Hashem had to pull us out of Mitzrayim. Sometimes a person is so down and out they can't provide for themselves. And you need to reach out to that friend or that sibling or that spouse or that child or that whatever, that neighbor, and lift that person up. But more often than not, when a Jew has goodness in this world, it comes about through what? Through midas hadin, through hard work, through earning it. Ki heim b'mishpat mekablim schara. That the Jewish people are people who earn the reward. They don't get it for free. We spend our life in what? In avodas Hashem. Like Rav Yitzchak Cohen told us yesterday. Right? Do you want to be a learning boy or a working boy? Right? A working boy means an oved Hashem. I want to be someone who works hard in the avodas Hashem. We're all workers. We're workers. Mamleches Kohanim. The word Kohen means what? An oved. Rashi translates Kohen as a worker. A Mamleches Kohanim. We're people who work hard. And that's something to be very, very proud of. That's something that we take pride in. That we don't want to forever be provided for without earning it. But we want, halavai, v'yitein l'cho ha'elokim, that midas hadim should be prepared to agree to the bracha that we receive in this world. Okay? Again, a simple pshat in a Rashi, but something definitely very, very practical in our lives. Okay? Chevra, now let's go to this other section that I mentioned. Again, you don't have it in the Sefer in front of you. So I sent it to the WhatsApp group. You can follow along over there, but it's on the screen also. And again, this is from the Yakar Mipaz, which is a different section of writings of the Kashrus or Magid. In some editions, it's printed along with the Avodas Yisrael. More often than not, until the more recent prints, it was not. Okay, and he has an amazing insight into the Haftorah of this week's Parsha, which I think is really one of my favorite prophecies. And you'll see why. It's unbelievably loving. The words of the Navi Malachi, the beginning of Perak Aleph of Sefer Malachi. Okay, first let's just read a little bit from the Haftorah. Okay, I'm going to read you a little bit of the Haftorah. Again, I have a Chumash in front of me. I'm going to read you a little bit of the Haftorah, and then we'll see how our Rebbe interprets it. The Navi Malachi begins by saying, Masa Dvar Hashem. Masa, what's a Masa? What's a Masa? A Masa means a burden. Masa Dvar Hashem, the burden of the Word of God? What does that mean, the burden of the Word of God? The prophetic burden of the Word of God. What does that mean? Masa implies a certain heaviness to this prophecy. We're going to find out what's heavy. This is one of the lightest, most uplifting prophecies, you'll see. What's heavy about it? I'll show you what's heavy about it. The Kashrus or Magid will show you what's heavy about it. So Masa Dvar Hashem, the prophetic burden of the Word of Hashem El Yisrael, Biyad Malachi, through the prophet Malachi. And here's what it says, okay? Before we get to the screen, just listen to the words of the Pesukim. The Pasuk says, Ahavti Aschem Amar Hashem. Ahavti Aschem, I have loved you, so says Hashem. Va'amartem, and if you'll ask, or if you'll say, Bama Ahavtanu, in what way have you loved us? Or maybe better, why do you love, Bama, why do you love me, Hashem? Halo Ach Esav Liyakov. Why do you like me? Yaakov and Esav were twins. How did I get picked? Why do you love me more than brother Esav? Va'ahelvas Yaakov. And Hashem says, yet I loved Yaakov. You imagine? Someone says, why do you love me? I just do. Why do you love me more than that person? I just do. Come on, tell me why you really love me. Right? Imagine, you know, someone's dating. And they're thinking about getting engaged. Right? And the person they're dating says, why do you love me? Right? So can you put it into words? I mean, I think I could at least begin to put it into words. There's obviously an element that I can't put into words. But first, talk about the qualities that you do like about that person. Right? I like the way you think. I like your personality. I'm attracted to you physically. There's so many things you could say in order to explain why. Again, yes, there's something that transcends all of those words. So Yaakov says, tell me, Hashem, what is it that you love about me? I just love you. But I have a brother Esav. Why do you like me? We were twins. We're equals. Why do you love me? Hashem says, V'ohav es Yaakov, ves Esav sanesi. I hated Esav and I love you. Okay. That's the heavy prophecy. I mean, that sounds pretty uplifting. It sounds like, you know, almost sounds the opposite of what we were just learning. It sounds like you love me no matter what. So, Chevra, let's listen into the Kashrus or Magid and find out what was so heavy about this prophecy and how do we read the words of the Navi Malachi. Again, the small prophecy of Treyasar, Malachi. Okay, so Chevra, look on the screen. Take a look. Masa Dvar Hashem El Yisrael Biad Malachi. The prophetic, the heavy prophetic burden of the Navi Malachi about Klal Yisrael from the words of Hashem. Masa hu lashon nevua kasha. As we said, masa means a burden. A nevua kasha, a harsh prophecy. Lefi shehu kamasa vegam hu osios asham. Because it is heavy, and it's also the same letters as asham. What does asham mean? A carbon asham is a guilt offering. What are we guilty of? Chever, what are we guilty of in this pasuk? Why is the Navi Malachi introducing a prophecy that is filled with loving expressions of Klal Yisrael? What's heavy about it? Where's the guilt? What are we guilty of? Chever, ready for this? Look at this. It's beautiful. Ahavti eschem, amar Hashem, va'amartem b'ma'avtanu. Hashem has said that I love you. And we ask, why do you love me? Ratzel lomar, explains our Rebbe, lekach diber nevuah kasha. You know what's heavy about this prophecy? You know what's painful to Hashem? The fact that we're even asking this question is very painful to Hashem. We're asking, Ratzel lomar, lekach diber nevuah kasha, mipnei shakutcha brichu oev eschem. Hashem says, I love you. And you're not sure about that? You have a question on that? How off are you that you don't understand how much Hashem loves you? Why don't we feel that? Why is that a suffix to us? You know how hurtful that is to Hashem? If one of my children came to me and said, Daddy, I'm not sure if you love me. What? How is that possible? Right? And let's assume I know that I've been a good loving father. So I look at my child and I say, that's so hurtful to me. How is it that you don't know that? How is that even a question? Va'atem omrim b'ma'av tanu. And you ask, why do you love me? V'zehu, look at these words, Chavra. You can go your whole life feeling good about yourself with these words. And you should. V'zehu be'emes asham gadol. That is a terrible injustice. You are guilty of asking such a question. How can you ask Hashem such a question? How could a Jew live with a suffix if Hashem loves him? How do we have days in our life where we say, Hashem, I'm not sure if you love me. Or why do you love me? Right? Why would you love me after all the averos that I did? Or why do you love me? I feel that you don't love me, Hashem. Hashem looks at us and says, that is so hurtful to me. Ki zehu ba'atzmo ava masha bachar banu mikolam. The fact that you're a Jew, don't you realize how lucky you are to be a Jew? Don't you realize that you've won the lottery? Don't you realize that you're part of the smallest of all nations, a tiny little team? And you're on that team, you were selected. V'tziva la'amod l'fanav u'l'sharso. Don't you realize how lucky you are that you've been commanded to stand before Hashem and to serve Hashem? The schus of mitzvos. V'im zocha adam lezeh la'avdo v'lachshov ka'omed l'fanav mamish. And if you're really paying attention to serve Hashem and to realize that I'm literally living my life in the presence of the creator of the world, who, like Rabbi Nachman told us yesterday, when I call out to him, Hashem turns away from whatever else he's doing to lock in with me, to pay close attention to me. The Omer, and again, we've seen this multiple times in the Kashrus Sefer Maggid, this is his go-to. When he wants to explain how lucky we are to be Jews, he says, all you have to do is think about the two words you say every time you make a bracha. Baruch Atah. Baruch Atah. That I can say you to Hashem. Again, I'll explain it the same way I explained it the last four times we had it. We had it in Lech Lecha, we had it in Shabbos Shuva. I showed you he says it by Pesach Sheni. This is his thing. This is like the Kashrus Sefer Maggid's go-to vart. Do you realize how fortunate you are to say Baruch Atah? If you were talking to Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, you would say, does the Rosh Yeshiva, or what does the Rosh Yeshiva think about this? What does the Rosh Yeshiva think about that? What is Rav Schechter's opinion about this? You wouldn't say, what do you think? It would be disrespectful. You speak in the third person. If you speak about, you know, Lahavdil, obviously, Lahavdil. But if you were talking to an important person, an important, world leader, you were talking to the president, you would say, Mr. President, right? You would refer to a senator as Senator so-and-so. You wouldn't just say you. That would lack a certain formality that a person of public office deserves. And yet to Hashem, we say, Baruch Atah, you. How do I say you to the creator of the world? How do I say you to the one who's responsible for 7.5 billion heartbeats right now? And the answer is, because Hashem's love for us is so awesome, and we're so close, and yet, as we've explained, we pull back, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We're nervous to say it also, but Hashem wants us to say it. Hashem wants us to say, Baruch Ata Neged Hashem Ponim B'Ponim Mamish. Hashem wants us to have a face-to-face conversation, to lock eyes with Hashem, to look Hashem in the face. Kasher Yedaber Ish El Re'eyu. Like speaking to your closest friend and feeling that embrace. Hine ein, look at these words, Chevra. Hine ein lecha mesikus gadol mizeh. There's literally nothing sweeter than that. Than a Jew, like we've been learning in Rabbi Nachman, his bodedus. At first it's awkward. And that itself is a tragedy. Why is it awkward to talk to God? Why should that be awkward? It should be a million times more comfortable than schmoozing with your best friend. Than Mirtz Hashem when you get married, schmoozing with your spouse. Talking to your children, talking to someone who you know loves you. If we knew how much Hashem loved us, so what's our problem? Why are we being awkward about talking to Hashem? Masa devar Hashem. It's a burden that we're having this conversation, says the Navi Malachi. Why are we having such a conversation? You should be embarrassed. Hashem, you're guilty of even asking the question. How do you not know that Hashem loves you? Don't you realize it's the sweetest privilege to be a Jew? Uvukosha Amar Talmidei Mori V'Rabbi. Remember this part? Ata Kohen La'olam, remember? We learned it in Lech Lecha, we referenced it in Parshas Va'eschanan. Ata, the fact that I can say the word Ata, you, that I could talk so straight to Hashem, Kohen La'olam. Kohen, we said, is a code word for chesed. Ata, the fact that I can say you, Kohen La'olam, is the greatest chesed ever. Ratzalomer Zeu Chesed Gadol. Im Zocha Adam Lomer Lafanav Ata, Panav Apanim. The fact that I could say straight to Hashem, you, that's the greatest chesed in the world. That Hashem invites me to talk to him in such a way is the greatest privilege in the world. De Kohen Hu Lashon Chesed, as we said from the Zohar. Vizeh Rem is Ata, Ata. When we say Ata, what do we do in Shemona Esrei? Baruch Ata. We bow our heads. Right? We bend our knees. Baruch Ata, we bow. Tamin Gochin Reisha. It's Taman, it's there that Gochin Reisha, that we bow our heads. Why? Because we feel humbled by the privilege of being able to say you to Hashem. Ratzalomar, that is to say, im mishaer daito, if we would just let it enter into our thick skulls, if we would just take it to heart, let it enter our mind. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Alo Chol Haaretz Kvodo, Hu Omei Negdo, that when I'm davening, when I'm talking to Hashem, I'm standing in the presence of the one who's responsible for the entire universe. Tzarach Lios Gichin Reisha, I need to be with a bowed head. I need to be humbled and thankful for that opportunity. And to stand humbly before Hashem. Last but not least, says the Kajos HaMagid. Let's wrap up the piece. Vegam, we just said that Hashem is what? Milo kol ha'aretz kavodo. Kajos HaMagid says a beautiful little remez. Milo kol ha'aretz is Rosh Tevos maka. To strike. What does that mean? The Medrash says, how does something grow in this world? Every blade of grass has a malach that's hovering over it, a mazal, a malach that's hovering over it, and the malach has a responsibility. You know what the malach's responsibility is? Is to strike that blade of grass, to keep pushing it, like a good Rebbe or a good coach who knows how to push the Talmidim, who knows how to push his players, without breaking them, God forbid, but to encourage them to be their best. Maka, that little malach on each blade of grass, called Esav Yesh Alav Malach Hamaka Alav VaOmer Gedal. There's a malach that sits on top of every blade of grass and strikes that blade of grass and tells it, "Grow. You need to grow. You need to grow. You need to be pushed sometimes in life to grow." That's what a nisayon is. Every test that we have in life is Hashem challenging us to be bigger. Ratzo Lomar Shekoach Hamazel Shalav Nichnas BaEsav. Vigadel al yedeze. What is that mazel? What is that malach that is found even in a blade of grass that pushes it to grow? What is it? That's maka, that strikes it. You know what that means, maka? Says our Rebbe, you know what it means on a deeper level? Kach kesheomer ha'adam, milo kol ha'aretz kavodo. When a Jew says these words, when we daven before Hashem, and we remind ourselves that Hashem is Molo Kol Haaretz Kavodo, and we think to ourselves that Molo Kol Haaretz is Rosh Tevos Maka. When I remind myself that I'm in the presence of what? The creator of the entire universe. and yet I have a special place in front of him. There's nothing that strikes me, that motivates me, that pushes me to grow more than that. That's the greatest drive to grow. When I say Molo Kola Aretz, Tzorach Lios Maka, that has to push you. If you're paying attention, if you actually believe you're standing in front of Hashem when you're davening, how could that not motivate you? How could that not inspire you? It's hard. Trust me, I'm a bad davener. And I don't do enough hispodidus. And I don't live in the presence of Hashem enough. And I am guilty of this masa devar Hashem, of the weightiness of asking Hashem sometimes, Hashem, do you love me? I'm not sure. And Hashem says, masa, asham, you're guilty. You're guilty for even asking it. You're not guilty because of your averos. You're guilty for thinking that my love is limited. Now you'll say, weren't we just learning a piece like 15 minutes ago? That v'yitein l'cha ha'elokim, we try to earn it? Yes, we do try to earn it. It's not a contradiction, chevra. Broaden your mind and broaden your heart. We do try to earn it. We do want to do the right thing. We don't want to rely on Hashem's kindness and His mercy. We want to earn that love, but we also have to know that, of course, Hashem loves us. And we have to feel so thankful for the privilege and the responsibility of being a Jew. Likones kola kedusha shemo yisbarach, asher maloch ala aretz kavoda. When a Jew says those words in kedusha, he needs to put his whole being into it and say, wow, I'm living in the presence of Hashem. I have a special relationship with Hashem. Va'ayedeze yachol ligodel b'kedusha. And that's how I grow in kedusha. So, chevra, v'zeh meturas kushyas ha'olam. With this, we can answer, I'll just do these last couple of lines right here. With this, we can answer the question that the world asks, because Hashem doesn't answer the question. When the Navi asks the question, when we ask the question through the words of the Navi, right? Hashem, why do you love us? We want a why. What's Hashem's answer? I love you, and I hate Esav. That's not an answer. So everyone asks, where's the answer? Everyone asks, Shemakshin, Hei Chachuva Shavama Avtanu. What is the answer? We asked, why do you love us? And all you said, Hashem, was what? All you said back to us was, I love you. How is that an answer? Right, well, what's the answer? Halo ach Esav Yaakov, Oivas Yaakov. Esav is the brother, but I love Yaakov. Why? That doesn't answer the question. But Chavah, that does answer the question. It's Hashem's way of saying your question is not an appropriate question. The answer to your question is you never should have asked that question. Ulidvareinu nicha, based on what we're explaining, it makes perfect sense. Kizeu ba'atzmo ha'ava b'mashu muchta b'shem Yaakov. My answer to you is, you are Yaakov. You are the Jewish people. What kind of crazy question is this? V'zeh v'ahov es Yaakov es Esau sanesi. And that is the answer. Mashu l'melech shahayu lo shnei banim. Imagine a king, a parable of a king who had two sons, v'girash echa miplaton sholo, and one of them was sent away from the palace, v'echad gidlo b'beso v'echalo, and the other one was raised in his house and in his palace. B'vadei ein shayach lishol melech b'ma'av tanu. Why do you love me? Why do I love you? From the fact that I've chosen you, the fact that I sent your brother away, and I've kept you, and I've raised you in the palace, obviously means that I see you as me, and me as you. Right, so what's the question? The closeness, the selection of Klal Yisrael is already the answer to why do I love you? I just do. You don't have to ask such a question. And if you're asking such a question, you're guilty of asking such a question. Okay, so chevra, we learned almost again two contradictory ideas today. On the one hand, v'yitein l'cha Elokim. Again, let's not forget the first piece we learned. We learned the piece about, you know, Lifnei Hashem, Rivka picking up on that remez of Yitzchak's conversation with Esav. Right, but then we learned these two almost contradictory ideas. On the one hand, Esav needs a handout, and a Jew earns his place before Hashem. And yet at the same time, as much as a Jew tries to earn it and takes responsibility for his life, we have to know it's inappropriate to ask, Hashem, why do you love me? Because Hashem's love for us transcends anything that we're ever going to do, good or bad. And that's a schus we have to embrace. And realize that there's literally nothing sweeter. Ein lecha mesikus gadol mizeh. There's nothing sweeter than a Jew being able to say Baruch Atah, being able to talk to Hashem. If it feels unnatural to you, then just practice it more. Talk to Hashem like you talk to a friend. Talk to Hashem in a real way. Share things with Hashem, which of course he already knows, but talk to Hashem about things you would never talk to anyone else about. Your most embarrassing moments, your most private thoughts, your deepest desires, talk to Hashem about it. And get comfortable talking to Hashem about it. And don't ask this foolish question, why do you love me, Hashem? That's not a question that a Jew should ask. Okay? So, Chevra, we'll stop here and we thank our Rebbe. We thank our Rebbe for giving us these perspectives. These are life-changing perspectives of how a Jew is supposed to see himself and his relationship with Hashem and see the whole... Okay?